the newest star in this fictional firmament, Jeff Vandermeer. To get a sense of his new novel, Annihilation, imagine that the government has sealed off part of Florida because people had started dying there and strange new life forms began popping up. Now the government is sending a team of scientists into this mysterious Area X.
The tower, which was not supposed to be there, plunges into the earth in a place just before the black pine forest begins to give way to swamp. Beyond the marsh flats and the natural canals lies the ocean, and a little farther down the coast, a derelict lighthouse. All of this part of the country has been abandoned for decades, for reasons that are not easy to relate. Our expedition was the first to enter Area X for more than 2 years, and much of our predecessor's equipment had rusted, their tents and sheds little more than husks. Looking out over that untroubled landscape, I do not believe any of us could yet see the threat.
That's the opening passage of Jeff Vandermeer's novel Annihilation. It's the first book in his Southern Reach trilogy, which is creating quite a buzz. Not only are all three books being released in a single year, Paramount Pictures has snapped up the movie rights. Steve Paulson has been reading the books and had a few sleepless nights as a result.
Jeff, how would you describe the basic premise of your Southern Reach trilogy in this strange wilderness area that seems to be in some part of Florida?
Right, yes. It's actually kind of based on my hiking in North Florida, although it's a very disguised setting. But basically, it's about this area called Area X, and mysterious things are happening there. People can't quite figure out what's going on, and the government has this secret agency, the Southern Reach, to investigate this place that's behind this invisible border.
So four women go on an expedition into Area X. What are they looking for?
Basically, they're first of all looking to survive, I would imagine. the problem with these expeditions, and they don't really get a sense of this until they're already mired or embedded in Area X, but the prior expeditions haven't gone very well. And so, for example, they don't refer to themselves by their names, and they also don't use modern communication technology, both of these things because, in a nutshell, it appears that whatever is in Area X, whatever is changing this landscape, can hack into the human mind a little easier if those things are in play.
And when you say previous expeditions have gone awry, I mean, basically, the people have either died or they've gone crazy.
Right, and it's almost as if they've been unable to receive certain types of incoming information, or they've simply been unable to handle it, or Area X is affecting them in ways that they don't quite understand.
Now, it would seem clear that there's some kind of alien civilization that is present in Area X. I mean, different kind of intelligence, different laws of biology. Is that fair to say?
I guess it would. I mean, the thing of it is that I think if we encounter something truly unknowable or beyond what the limits of our knowledge or our science are, that it's going to either manifest as something that seems either perhaps, I guess you'd say, magical or completely inscrutable to some degree. And so it's really hard for the Southern Reach, for these expeditions, to get a grasp on exactly what it is they're even looking at.
Is there a real-life correlate to the sort of the geography that you're describing in Area X? I mean, it's kind of swampy, semi-tropical. Are you sort of basing this on any real-life place?
Yeah, actually, there's a 14-mile trail that I hike out at the St. Mark's Wildlife Refuge here in North Florida, and it's a very transitional landscape. It does exactly what the landscape in Annihilation does. It goes from pine forest to kind of cypress-knee black water swamp to marshlands and then out to the coast, and it's a really unique ecosystem. It is very personal to me. I mean, there's not a single detail of the landscape in Annihilation that isn't from firsthand observation. It's also kind of interesting because people who aren't used to that landscape or don't know it find the book to be stranger than people who do. Like, for example, there's a scene in there where there's a dolphin in a freshwater canal. And there's something strange about the dolphin that doesn't happen in real life, obviously. But there's also the fact that dolphins do come up at high tides through the marshland, through the water passages, and you can find them in the freshwater channels there.
So this is a pretty wild place that you go hiking in. I mean, with large, potentially dangerous creatures?
Yes. Actually, I have been charged by a wild boar out there, which is more hilarious than it sounds, because I was out there hiking with a friend at the time, and it charged us from a long distance away on a path that had water on either side, and we'd already been hiking for like 7 miles, so we were not inclined to be doing much running away from this thing. But it charged from so far away, like 200 feet, that we had a lot of time to talk about what we were going to do, which is not something you expect, right? And so about 15 feet away, the thing veered off into the water and swam away, and this kind of blew our minds because neither of us had remembered in our kind of semi-panic there that pigs could swim. So it was never an option to us that it was going to veer off the path into the water. And so that is actually a scene that made it in non-comic fashion into the novel, this charging of this boar and the strangeness surrounding that.
Now, I heard that the original idea for these books came from a dream. Is that right?
It did. And I kind of primed my subconscious. I kind of do this. I kind of say, subconscious, I really want to write about Florida more directly than I have in the past. So say that to my brain, and then months later I have this dream. And in the dream, I'm going down this tunnel, and I start seeing this living material on the wall that's forming letters. And the creepy thing, and also it's like darkly comic to me at least, is I notice that they're getting fresher, which means there's something down below that's making these words. And at a certain point, I see this kind of glow. And this is one of those dreams where you don't know that you're dreaming, you know, one of those terrible things where it's like, oh, my God, I'm actually in this situation.
Otherwise known as a nightmare to some people.
Well, okay, yes. I should. I guess it would be a nightmare if it had never turned into a story. Then I would be calling it a nightmare. But since I have in some way profited from it creatively, I'll call it a dream. So I get to this point where I realize the glow is right there, and if I turn the corner, I'm going to see what's down there doing it. And that's when my writer brain, I believe, basically airlifted me out of the situation. Suddenly my brain was telling me, this is a dream, you need to wake up. And I think that if I hadn't woken up, pretty much I would have wound up not writing the story, that I needed to not see that thing in order to write the story. And so I woke up, I wrote, scribbled down all those ideas. Then in the morning, I had the character of the biologist in my head, I had a rough story arc. So all of these things my subconscious has been working hard on to try to explain the dream, I guess. And so it was a very easy novel to write for that reason.
But it's fascinating because, I mean, you're really saying that you consciously set out to sort of get in touch with your subconscious. And I'm thinking especially for the kind of books that you write. I mean, you are, I mean, we can talk about how to categorize your kind of fiction, but they're a bit on the science fiction side. They're kind of surreal. I mean, it would seem that your task in a way is to get out of seeing ordinary reality. You know, so the question is, how do you do that? I mean, how do you tap into that part of your mind?
Well, it's a really, it's a perilous question too. I mean, one thing I learned early on is never have a dream sequence in my own fiction. Because sometimes the effects are kind of Kafkaesque and dreamlike to begin with. So you put a dream in there and it just immediately, all the tension kind of goes out of the story.
Are you asking questions about what's real and maybe what's just beyond what's real?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, in a sense, I feel like over the last 20 years, the world has become less real because of the fact that we can't even sometimes agree on what a fact is. And so I think to some degree, I'm dealing with the limits of what we think science can be and do, because I still think science needs to be allied to philosophy. And one thing that I think that kind of weird or surreal fiction gets at is the irrationality of the world.
You and your wife, Anne, edited a big anthology of stories called The Weird. You know, you've talked about weird fiction. Is this just another word for science fiction, or is it something different?
I think it's a more useful word to discuss certain types of fiction, because the one thing that weird fiction does is it's not a marketing category. You won't find it in a bookstore. It also repairs, I would call, what I'd call a rift between so-called genre and so-called literary, which is something that my wife and I pretty much ignore anyway. But it allowed us to bring together writers who were working in with similar material, kind of dark fiction that's dealing with the unknown.
Who would be some of those writers?
Well, there are stories of Borges's that qualify. There's Murakami, some of his more surreal stories. Also, of course, people like Ray Bradbury. You look at these writers, and there's all these connections that you wouldn't have thought of.
And it seems like this is quite different from what I would consider to be fantasy. I mean, you're not dealing with magic and sorcerers and that kind of thing.
No, not at all. I mean, you can say, for example, vampires, zombies, and werewolves are not weird because you know what those things are. As soon as they pop up in a story, they bring all this baggage of associations with them.
So you actually, so what you're drawn to is the unexplainable, the inexplicable.
The unexplainable and trying to explain it and trying to come to terms with it. And in a sense, you could see that shift occurring in fiction because it was shifting out of the Gothic, which was much more probably, I guess you'd say, Christian influence to some degree, and ghosts and all of that, and then sliding into this modern era where the world seemed perhaps more complex and more brutal and more everything. And, you know, some explanations for that come out of science. Some of them still come out of religion. Some of them, in stories from some of these writers, they were just basically trying to make sense of it all.
Are you dealing with the supernatural?
In these books?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that an interest of yours to explore what the supernatural might mean?
It is, in the sense of what people think of it in their minds. I'm not so much into the supernatural itself. I'm kind of more into the supernatural as it gets expressed as superstition and absurdity. If you study even just parts of the natural world, you begin to wonder if you're actually living on an alien planet, that there are so many incredible things that go on around us. I mean, they found out recently that albatrosses and sunfish have a symbiotic connection. Now, that to me is not necessarily supernatural, but it speaks of kind of a weird sense of wonder, if that makes any sense. I find those kinds of details to be interesting and kind of beautiful in a way. And so, you know, maybe the books in a way explore kind of the gap or the transition or the way that science and all these other things come together, but not the supernatural directly. It's about individual human beings trying to come to terms with the unknown and the inexplicable, trying to make sense of it. And in some cases, that takes a spiritual turn.
Jeff Vandermeer is the author of Annihilation and Authority, the first books in his Southern Reach trilogy. He spoke with Steve Paulson.